Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments. Restore Health and Counseling encourages parents to add to your children's education with proper information about drug use, drug abuse, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, who is? That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescent to adult and for private as well as professional drug and alcohol screening, treatment, and rehabilitation. Visit www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Work, and he's written a new book on Psalm 83. Now, this is a very important program. I asked Bill to come on because he has clarified, at least in my mind, some of the contradictions I see unfolding in the Near East and the Middle East today. Certainly, if you believe in the scriptures and you believe that there are prophetic wars that are to take place, certainly, for many years, I believed that there was one great battle, the Battle of Armageddon, and then it became very obvious that there was another war that's described. And that's the war in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that is entirely separate from the War of Armageddon. Will come before that. And certainly, you can read it, Ezekiel 38, 39 describes all the nations coming against Israel. And then you look and see what's happening in the Near East and the Middle East today, and you see all the nations lining up for a war on Israel, only they're different nations than are described in the Ezekiel 38 and 9, the Gog-Magog War. Certainly, there may be a little overlap, but predominantly, they're different nations. So how do we explain that? Well, maybe God didn't know it was going to happen, or maybe he got a little confused, or maybe the Word of God is not quite accurate, or maybe I'm missing something. And so, since I'm not a biblical theologian, I've been pondering about this, just wondering, my times of reverie, what in heaven's name is going on? How do we correlate what's happening today in the real world with a world that's described, or the events that are prophesied in the Holy Scriptures? And is it possible that God made a serious mistake? Well, I, first of all, don't believe God makes mistakes. Many things in the scriptures, one of them very, very glaring, and that is the United States is not mentioned in end-time prophecy, unless, of course, we are the Babylon that is described in the Revelation. But Bill Sellers has written this wonderful book on Psalm 83. That gives a whole different perspective, and he's suggesting there is going to be a preceding war, the war that was described in Psalm 83, that will come before the war described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So I've asked Bill to come on with us this morning and explain to you his thesis, and it is fascinating. Good morning, Bill, and thank you so very much for being with us.
Hey, good morning, Stan. Thanks for having me back on your program.
Will you pick up the story? I'm just going to sit here and listen to you.
Well, Stan, you make you articulate very important points. I, like you, was fastened to that Gog of Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle. But, you know, what's going on in the Middle East right now is dealing with the land of Israel. It's dealing with the Israelis, the Jewish people, under threat. And the Gog and Magog invasion is not dealing with the land in as much as they're coming, this coalition, a very formidable coalition formed by Russia, which would include Iran and Ethiopia and Libya and Turkey and several other populations, for prosperity, for Israel's plunder and great booty. So it's a different motive than what we see really going on right now. And like you pointed out, the real enemies of Israel, I mean, Iran's one of Israel's real enemies, certainly, but those ones sharing common borders with Israel, the Arab states and the terrorist populations within those states, they're the ones that are really putting the pressure on Israel, especially like the Hamas and the Hezbollah, Palestinian refugees. Of course, they want their own state. And they're not even listed in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And I don't think that was an oversight by Ezekiel, because he talks about those populations 89 times in his 48 different chapters, but he doesn't list them once in this very descriptive Gog of Magog battle. He lists nine distinct populations, but none of those nine populations share common borders with Israel. So I got to thinking, Stan, there's something missing here. In background, when the towers came down on September 11th, I thought, you know, this is about terrorism that's going on these days. Terrorism is the ugly byproduct of the Arab-Israeli conflict. It is the unconventional means of warfare that the Arabs adopted after they realized they couldn't defeat Israel in the conventional wars of 48, 67, and 1973. So I really started to delve into that area. And there is a plethora of scriptures dealing with the Arab-Israeli conflict. And the cornerstone area is Psalm 83. That's the name of the book you mentioned, Psalm 83, The Missing Prophecy Revealed, subtitle, How Israel Becomes the Next Mideast Superpower. Stan, Israel is en route to being a much greater, safer Israel. And we're even told that in Ezekiel 38, the prophecy we've been speaking about also, because Russia comes after this Israel that's dwelling securely in the midst of the land without walls, bars, nor gates. That's very, very prosperous and very, very safe. So it's very fascinating. The Psalm 83 prophecy written 3,000 years ago, ancient Hebrew prophecy by Asaph the seer. We're told Asaph was a worship leader for King David, but we're also told in 2 Chronicles 29:30 that he was a seer. Now, the Hebrew word is chozah. It means a beholder of vision, a prophet like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, etc. It's an amazing prophecy, Stan, and it's caught your attention too, hasn't it?
It certainly has. But why don't you explain why the situation could not exist? The things that happened at the time of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war is not the situation that exists in Israel today. I mean, Israel is very defensive. It has walls, has a great wall. They're building a 405-mile-long wall, 25-foot high. Much of it's already completed. And yet we're told in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that Israel is living in peace without walls, you know, when this war occurs. So, well, what are you going to do with the wall? Did God make a mistake? Or is this a different war? And certainly, are there different motives? And are things lining up today? My concern is that Syria today has the third largest supply of chemical weapons in the world. Israel cannot allow those weapons to fall into the hands of the terrorists. And Israel, unless there's some sort of an international agreement for peace in Syria, I believe Israel is going to, or the United States, or both the nations together, are going to have to invade Syria to secure those chemical weapons, which, of course, Assad got, President Assad of Syria, got from Saddam Hussein back before the Second Gulf War. And where did Saddam Hussein get them from? He got them from us. Why would we give Saddam Hussein massive supplies of chemical weapons during the Afghan War? Maybe this is all right.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Bill Salas, and I'm simply saying that is it possible that there's going to be a war in the Near East, the Middle East, sometime in the very near future? Certainly, we are arming, contrary to everything you're being told by the controlled media, but we're arming the rebels. We are behind what's going on in Syria, just as we were behind the war that took out Egypt. And basically, we're giving Egypt now the new Muslim Brotherhood dictatorship that we've installed. We're giving them 20 F-16 planes and all sorts of tanks and armaments. Why would we give that to the government controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood? Unless we're planning on having a war and we have to have an enemy, a well-armed enemy. You can't have a war unless you have a well-armed enemy, can you? Just like all during the Vietnam War, we funded the Russians, who funded the North Vietnamese, who funded the Viet Cong, who killed our boys. Just like during World War II, 100 American corporations worked during the war building the weapons that the Germans used to kill our boys at Normandy in the Battle of the Bulge. Well, ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. And today, I believe we're laying the foundation for a war in the Middle East. And it doesn't make sense, especially the fact that we gave Saddam Hussein massive supplies of chemical weapons during the Afghan War in the 1980s, and eventually Saddam Hussein gave them to Assad. And those chemical weapons that Assad has today could well be the justification for either an Israeli or an American invasion of Syria. If it happens, it's going to happen suddenly, with very little warning. But, Bill, you go right ahead and talk about the background of the Psalm 83 war prophesied almost 3,000 years ago. Go right ahead.
Absolutely, Stan, and I would concur there's a war coming because when diplomacy fails, wars begin. Diplomacy has failed. The last real attempt to jumpstart talks between the Palestinians and the Jews was at the end of 2010, and they collapsed, and nothing's been done since that time. Now, President Obama is supposedly going to go over to Israel around March 20th to sort of scope out the area. They're not setting their hopes up too high. But at the same token, he's not bringing anything new to the table. And remember, President Barack Obama is interested in a two-state solution, a land for peace deal. And those are the things that haven't worked. Those are the things that were forwarded by Bill Clinton and George Bush. And they failed miserably, and this is going to fail miserably as well. So ultimately, there will be a war, and that's really what the Bible speaks volumes about, and a climactic, including Arab-Israeli war that is in Psalm 83 that involves some of those countries you were talking about, Syria with its chemical weapons and Egypt. It's got the Muslim Brotherhood now in charge. You know, we're the Obama administration, and I certainly don't want to be political here. I want to be biblical for your listeners, but he has legitimized the Muslim Brotherhood as the democratically elected party, the President Mohamed Morsi, the democratically elected president in Egypt. But the Muslim Brotherhood is an amazing group. They were founded in 1928 by Hassan al-Banna. It was a religious political group, and they were he was a devout admirer of Adolf Hitler. And matter of fact, the Nazi regime was going to have the Muslim Brotherhood as a tentacle of theirs into the Middle East, should they have survived. And the Muslim Brotherhood, and you can find these credos on their website, they believe that Islam is the solution, Allah is our objective, the Quran is our law, the Prophet Muhammad is our leader, jihad is our way, and death for Allah is the highest aspiration. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood, and I want to get into Psalm 83, Stan, but I think this geopolitical study just quickly is important. They founded the Hamas out of the Gaza area in 1987 as a political arm of the Muslim Brotherhood at a time when the Muslim Brotherhood was being repressed by the Mubarak regime. Now, Hosni Mubarak, the former president of Egypt, is serving a lifetime in prison, but the Hamas, because they existed in 1987 and 1988, they came up with their political charter, of which three tenets are very important to bring forward. One is they say Israel will exist and continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. Two, the land of Palestine is to be Islamic. Now, they call it the land of Palestine, Stan. They do not recognize Israel's right to exist. And by the way, the Hamas is on the state-sponsored terror list, along with Hezbollah in the U.S. So it says the land of Palestine to be Islamic, consecrated to future Muslim generations until Judgment Day. And this is the kicker, Stan, number three. There's only one solution to resolve the conflict, and that is jihad, Stan. They don't believe in land for peace deals. They don't want a two-state solution. They want one state, and they want it through jihad, and they want a state called Palestine. So it's an illusion to think that there's going to be able to be a diplomatic international solution to this problem. Obama's going to go over there, and there'll be pomp and circumstance, no doubt, but there will be no resolve. Now, the Bible says it will come to war. And at this point, when I teach and speak on this stand, I point out to the listeners or to the audience that what I'm about to say is a bit uncomfortable. I mean, there's death and destruction and havoc and war. But there, and the God that I worship, I'm a Christian, he's a loving God. He sent Jesus to die for our sins, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that's in John 3:16. He would rather have a relationship with the Arabs who are about to come and attack the Jews. But he also has foreign policy in place, established 4,000 years ago in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. And he specifically says that if people or countries would bless Abraham, which would mean on through his son Isaac, his grandson Jacob, and on through the Jewish people today, if they would bless Israel, in essence, they would be blessed, but if they cursed Israel, they would be cursed. So a loving God has foreign policy in place, and the Psalm 83 war is nothing short of a strong genocidal attempt of the Jewish people, of the state of Israel, and the goal of taking the promised land. So I'm going to read just briefly the first five verses of the Psalm, and then I'm going to tell the motive subsequent in verse 12. It says, "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, 'Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more.' For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you." And verse 12 tells us they want to take the pastures of God for themselves as a possession. They want a promised land. They want another Arab state. So we have a legitimate confederacy, and the verses I didn't read tells us who's involved in the confederacy, and I'm sure within the hour we'll get time to go over that. But they form a plan, a crafty council. They consult together against the Jews. And they say they want to destroy the nation of Israel, that it can be remembered no more. They want to wipe it off the map once and for all. And in order to destroy a nation, that nation has to exist. And Israel did not exist between 70 AD and 1948 AD, but it does exist now, and it's about to celebrate its 65th birthday this May 14th, because it was founded in 1948. It was not fulfilled historically when you study the prophecies that have passed. So it is a pending prophecy. And it is a they want to wipe Israel off the map, Stan. And, of course, that's the problem we've got here. Hamas doesn't recognize Israel's right to exist, the 22 members in the Arab League. Most of them don't recognize Israel's right to exist, and I don't believe any of them even conduct normal business relationships with Israel. And so the attitude is there. It's been there since ancient times, and it's been there since they became a nation six decades ago. It still exists today and persists. So, Stan, I think you're absolutely right. There is a third war, not Armageddon and not Ezekiel 38 and 39, and I think it's a war that precedes the other wars because Israel is about to go to war against Hezbollah. And I'm going to list these populations quickly because it really hits home when you look geopolitically at who he is talking about in our times. It's a confederacy consisting of Lebanon to the north, which in you have Hezbollah. You have Syria to the northeast. You have Jordan. You have Saudi Arabia. You have Egypt. Of course, the Muslim Brotherhood there. You have Hamas, which is in ancient Philistia. That's the Gaza today. And you have the Palestinian refugees. And matter of fact, the Palestinian refugees are listed first among the 10 populations listed. And they're listed as the tents of Edom. There was no Palestinians 3,000 years ago or Hezbollah. So we have to go by what Asaph was writing in the vocabulary of his time. He calls them the tents of Edom. And then he lists those other countries I was telling you about. And tents of biblically refer to refugee conditions. And the Edomites have ethnical representation today into the Palestinians. So he was saying that, in essence, the Palestinian plight, their desire to have a state, is going to be bannered by those terrorists and countries and Arab states that share common borders with Israel. And they're going to try to have another Arab state over there called Palestine. They want to take the pastures of God for themselves as a possession. And I stated earlier, none of these countries through which Russia's coalition has to come across those lands to even get to Israel, none of those countries I just listed in Psalm 83 are in Ezekiel 38. There's one of the distinctions between the two prophecies, different coalitions. The other distinction between the prophecies is the motives. The Psalm 83 prophecy, they want to take the land of Israel. Ezekiel 38 prophecy, they want plunder and great booty from a very wealthy Israel. And Israel is becoming very prosperous, Stan. But they will be extremely prosperous. After the Psalm 83 war, they'll be able to take some more territory. They'll be able to exploit some spoils of war. In fact, it tells us in Ezekiel 38:13, when the Russian coalition comes for Russia for Israel's spoil, the Hebrew word is shalal, and that means despoil. In other words, spoil from the despoilers. In other words, Israel has got not only their own inherent resources and wealth, but they've also probably got spoils of war. And Russia is going to come after that as well. The other and last distinction that's very important is that the way that the prophecies are defeated, because God will not allow the Jews to be destroyed. He is a promise-keeping God, and he promised Abraham he would have descendants forever in Genesis 22, I think it's verse 17, and elsewhere. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, exist today in fulfillment of Bible prophecy for the purposes of defeating the Arab conflict. It's going to come against them in Psalm 83, and I point out the plethora of scriptures in the Bible that talk about this. Ezekiel 37:10, for instance, says Israel will become an exceedingly great army. Ezekiel 25:14 says, I will execute my vengeance by the hand of my people Israel, the IDF, on Edom, and they shall know my vengeance and fury. So he's going to use the IDF as a tool to prevent the destruction of the Jewish people so that the nation can't be cut off from being a nation and the name Israel can always be remembered rather than remembered no more. Versus Ezekiel 38. I'll try to slip this in before you have to go to break. This is not stopped by the Israeli Defense Forces. Ezekiel 38 verses 16 through Ezekiel 39:6 tells us quite the contrary. It's God who stops the Russian invaders through a earthquake. And every man's sword will be against his brother. And it says there will be fire and brimstone and hailstone. So it's going to be clear that it was the Lord, divinely, that stopped that war. So, Stan, it's an amazing time to be alive. And I think you're absolutely right. We can concur there is another war coming, and it could be very imminent. All that stands between it happening right now is two fragile peace treaties between Egypt and Israel, and Jordan and Israel. And that Egypt treaty is very, very fragile because with Mohamed Morsi, who said he thinks the Jews are bloodsuckers and descendants from apes and pigs, he said this in 2010 on Arab television, he's in charge now. And the Muslim
let me just reiterate what I said earlier. Why are we sending 20 F-16 fighter jets to Morsi in Egypt when he's already said he's going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth? Why are we sending tanks? Why are we building up the Egyptian army at this time? It doesn't make any sense. But then so much of what's going on in the world doesn't make any sense today unless you understand we're living in truly prophetic times. And incidentally, when Bill refers to Edom, remember that is Egypt. Ammon, Edom, and Moab are Jordan. And so understand the geography over there, and it makes so much more sense. Go right ahead.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, Egypt is listed as the Hagarines in the prophecy because Hagar was the matriarch of Egypt, and she was the mother of Ishmael. Ishmaelites are also listed in the prophecy. That would be, he was the father of the Arabs. That would be Saudi Arabia. But you're absolutely right about
Jordan. Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Salas right here at the American Freedom Network.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
At Ram, we only build trucks. That's why there's only one true truck month. So it's no surprise that the new Ram 1500 has been named the 2013 Motor Trend Truck of the Year and the 2013 North American Truck of the Year. It features an available Torque Flight 8-speed transmission that achieves best-in-class 25 mpg highway and a 100,000-mile 5-year powertrain warranty. Come see the new Ram 1500 at the only true truck month, Ram. Trade in your vehicle and get $7,700 in total values on Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 equipped with a Hemi V8 engine. Standard pickup class, EPA estimated V6 4x2. See dealer for details and a copy of limited warranty. Values include $4,500 total cash allowances and $3,200 Bighorn package discount. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. Trade-in vehicle must be registered to qualified buyer for at least 30 days. Residency restrictions apply. Offer ends 3/4. Ram and Hemi are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group LLC.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, Dr. Stan here. Before we go on, Bill, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your book on Psalm 83.
Well, thank you, Stan. The website is probably one of the best places to get the book. It's prophecydepot.com. That's Prophecy Depot, like Home Depot.com. Prophecy spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, not E-S-Y. ProphecyDepot.com, and the book is also available at Amazon, and it is starting to get filled up in a lot of the Christian bookstores now across the country as well. But I'd say my website or Amazon would be the best places, and thank you for that, Stan.
And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of things going on that just don't make sense. Jews are still going to Israel. Now, why would anybody in their right mind want to go to Israel when there's a very real chance there's going to be a war? In fact, almost all the Israelis now have their gas masks in preparation for the possibility of a chemical war. I know one of our good friends is Jewish. He's a Messianic Jew. And his cousin is a Messianic Jew. Gave up a good job here and his home in America, and he and his family recently moved to Israel to take a job with a much lower wage scale. But he feels that God had drawn him. Totally illogical for him to have gone to Israel at this time, or for Jews all over the world to be moving to Israel at this time. But they're doing it. Tens of thousands every year are moving to Israel. Despite the very real danger, God is bringing them there for a purpose. So go right ahead, Bill.
Well, that's very interesting to think about that, because it is not the safest neighborhood to be going to at this point in time, and yet they are still going there. And, you know, Stan, that is a Bible prophecy. The Lord had mentioned through the prophets in various places that after the diaspora, there would be a rebirth of the nation Israel and a regathering of Jews into that nation of Israel. In fact, Jeremiah 23, verse 7 through 8 says, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." It's really, Stan, it's pretty much supernatural if you think about it. That's just one of the prophecies. I list a whole bunch of them in the book, Psalm 83, The Missing Prophecy Revealed. But, you know, it's interesting because Theodore Herzl, who's the sort of the father of Zionism, which Zionism at the time that he wrote in 1897, he wrote a book called Der Judenstaat, the Jewish State, in German. And that was dealing with the anti-Semitism that was mounting in the world, especially in Europe, and that the only really safe thing for the Jews to do was to go back to their ancient homeland. And thus, that was, he's sort of called the father of Zionism. And he wrote in 1897 in his diary, this is fascinating, there's almost a prophecy in itself. It says, at Basel, which is where they hosted the first Zionist Congress, and he said, at Basel, I founded the Jewish state. If I said this out loud today, I would be answered by universal laughter. If not in 5 years, certainly in 50 years, everyone will know it. And 50 years later, in 1947, the UN Resolution 181, the partition plan, became a reality. So he unknowingly had 50 years predicted that this rebirth of the nation Israel would be legislated, and in 1948, of course, it became a nation on May 14th, 1948. Now, Stan, right now it's not real safe for the Jews to go into Israel and become Israelis. But many are going there. But after Psalm 83, Stan, that's a different story. Because part of the subtitle of my book is How Israel Becomes the Next Mideast Superpower. Israel wins a war by the Arabs that surround them. And they eliminate their Arab enemies from the threat of war and the terrorism that's inside of that, inside of those countries. And they become a safer place. And I point out the scriptures that says Israel will actually incrementally expand a little bit. See, in Genesis 15:18, we're told 4,000 years ago that Abraham was given land from the river of Egypt, the Nile, to the river Euphrates, which courses through modern-day Iraq and Syria. Now, Israel at no point in time has ever occupied all of that land, but they exist again today, and they have been expanding even against international pressure. I mean, in 1967, they almost tripled their size after that Six-Day War. They took over the West Bank, the Golan Heights, the Sinai, East Jerusalem, Gaza. And, you know, and the international community wants Israel to shrink its borders to to prior 1967 borders, but meanwhile, Israel Jews are coming into the land and they're expanding their borders. Very strange dichotomy there. But Israel will expand. And ultimately, when Jesus returns and sets up his messianic kingdom, Israel will get all the land that was promised to Abraham. But I believe they're going to win a war, and they're going to do what they always do when they win a war. They're going to annex some territory. They're going to stretch out their elbows. They're going to do that for a couple reasons. One is it increases their defensible ability of the nation. Borders are expanded. It also is in part of the land that was given to their patriarchal father, Abraham, so they believe it's their land. And it's got a historical precedent. Joshua did it 3,300 years ago. King David and King Solomon did it 3,000 years ago. And the IDF did it, and Israel did it in 1967. And I'm not just saying that because there's historical precedent. I'm saying that because there's biblical precedent for it, and that it's actually a prophecy in several places. Jeremiah 49, verse 2 tells us there's going to be an alarm of war in Rabbah, which is this would be Amman, the capital of Jordan, would be the general area. And it will become a desolate mound, it says. And then Israel shall take over its inheritance, we're told. And that's just one of the scriptures. Now, Ammon or Ammon is in Jordan. That is part. They're part of Psalm 83. Isaiah 19:18 says, in Egypt, five cities will someday speak the language of Canaan. And it's preceded by verse 17 that says there's a war between Israel and Judah. And five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan, which is Hebrew. One of those cities, it says, will be called the City of Destruction. Obadiah 1, verses 19 and 20, clearly points out that after the war, in Obadiah 1:18, well, let me quote 1:18. Obadiah says, the house of Jacob will be a fire, the house of Joseph will be a flame. Read that as the Israeli Defense Forces. And the house of Esau, read that as the Palestinian refugees, the Edomites per se, will be a stubble, and there will be no survivor. And so the point, then it goes on to say that Israel will annex a part of Lebanon, southern Lebanon, up to Zarephath. It will take over Samaria in certain places. That would be the West Bank. It'll take over the Gaza. That would be, you know, ancient Philistia. And so Israel is going to be a whole nother country that this world is not anticipating right now after Psalm 83. And boy, there'll really be something else after Ezekiel 38 when Jehovah stops that formidable Russian invasion. So what the world is trying to do right now to Israel, it's not going to stand. They're trying to make Israel shrink to before its 1967 borders. The Arabs want to cut the nation off, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. That's the Psalm 83 mandate. But the world's got another thing coming to it, because God has big plans for little Israel, and little Israel is going to become a superpower over there real soon. And I think that's scripturally supported, Stan.
Well, certainly it is from the point of view of the scriptures. And then, of course, the issue is, what happens to America? Why isn't America mentioned in scripture in the last days? But we'll be back in a moment, and we'll try to put some.
Sentus, the uniform people in Greeley, is saluting the police, firefighters, paramedics, and 9/11 dispatchers who work in our community. We thank them for doing a great job trying to keep our area a better place to live, shop, and raise a family. We realize their job is dangerous and sometimes thankless. This message from Sentus, the uniform people in Greeley. They can be reached at 970-352-2233. On the air because they care. Named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. 970-352-2233. Sentus, the uniform people.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
What? Good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home? And I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or taste the water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline, high pH Kangen water. And so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Bill Salas. His book on Psalm 83. We do have a caller. Oh, who's calling in?
Hello, this is Vicki from Fort Collins again. And what I'm calling about is, since our head of our CIA is likely to be Hegel, and he's a Muslim, what happened
to
America?
You're speaking of Bennett.
Oh, Bennett. I'm sorry, Bennett. Okay.
Right.
I suppose Hegel's about as good. Okay.
Hegel's defense. Go ahead.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, what happens to America during this time?
Well, that, of course, is the big question. And Bill actually addresses that in his book. I don't necessarily agree with his conclusion, but I think it's very important. And, Bill, why don't you go ahead and put out your view of why isn't America addressed in the scriptures in the latter days?
Okay, very good, Stan. I personally think we could be in the scriptures, and I do present two chapters in the book, Psalm 83, The Missing Prophecy Revealed, dealing with America. One is called The Future for America in Bible Prophecy, and the other is America's Role in Psalm 83. And I do present the six different arguments that are levied about America in Bible prophecy. Some people think it's the unnamed nation in Isaiah 18. I dispel that one. Some think it's Babylon in Revelation 18. It could be, but I think it takes a little bit of sensationalizing to get there, and I tell you the reasons for that in the book. And then some say it's the 10 lost tribes of Israel, great eagle of Revelation 12. But I think we could be the young lions of Tarshish in Ezekiel 38. You have this group of Americans, well, a group of protesters, it appears to be, when Gog, Russia, is putting its coalition together to come against Israel for plunder and booty. And these protesters are saying that Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and their young lions, Sheba would be Yemen and Dedan would be Saudi Arabia. There's a little confusion as who are the merchants of Tarshish. Some people think it could be Spain and the young lions being the colonies maybe of Central and South America from Spain, or some think it could be the UK and the colonies would have spread out to Canada, America, Australia, etc. I think that's more logical. I think we could be those young lions or the merchants of Tarshish. But the point being is that, one, there's going to be merchants wanting to conduct commerce with a wealthy Israel, and they're protesting because Russia's got a coalition coming to take that plunder and booty. And these protesters are saying, what are you doing? Are you coming to take plunder and booty? And if we are the young lions of Tarshish, and we're standing alongside of the UK saying, what are you doing, Russia? Are you coming for plunder and booty with this formidable coalition? That puts us in kind of a weak position. I mean, really protesting. It reminds me of when, if you might recall, when Russia and China vetoed the sanctions that were supposed to be levied on Syria at the early part of the Syrian revolution, and Hillary Clinton came out at the, then the Secretary of State said, that's despicable. You know, in other words, well, what are you going to do about it? I mean, don't just say that's despicable. I mean, don't just protest it. You know, try to do something about it. And so I think we could be in the Bible there, but, you know, the concern is, and I'm a radio host as well, and I've interviewed many people who've written about America. I've interviewed Jonathan Cahn. He's got a book, a best-selling book out called The Harbinger right now. That's a warning to America that the presage signs, the harbingers that happened to the kingdom of northern Israel around 732 BC, they're happening to America. There are very similar things that come to a country before they get judged or destroyed or something like that. And I also interviewed Mark Hitchcock, who wrote The Late Great United States, and Terry James, who wrote The American Apocalypse, and David Reagan, who wrote America the Beautiful. All these people, these prophetic voices, felt a burden to write about this country. And they're all pretty much saying, in one way or another, that this country is to be concerned right now because of its behavior, its immorality, and things like that, and that it is difficult to find it in the Bible. And if you can find it in the Bible, it's not the same superpower status that we know and love. So what happens, you know? I mean, granted, maybe we are in the Bible somewhere. We're difficult to find. But Israel's mentioned 2,302 times. Egypt's mentioned 565 times. Even Gaza's mentioned 30 times. Saudi Arabia's mentioned at least 10. Russia's probably mentioned at least 5 times. China's probably the kings of East, Revelation 16. So why are we so hard to find when all these other places are listed, you know, galore all over the place? And that's really puzzled us. That silence is kind of deafening. What happens to this country? And I've got more to say on the topic. You know, I believe America's got a very important role in Psalm 83, although I don't believe we're listed in Psalm 83. Stan, can I keep going, or do you want me to stop?
Oh, you go right ahead. We've only got a moment or two more. Basically, of course, one of the things we know about Babylon is described in the Revelation. I suggest people get out the concordance, look up Babylon, and Babylon is destroyed literally overnight, and it is the financial center of the world. And the Christian people say, well, it hasn't happened. No, it hasn't happened yet, but could there be some great financial catastrophe? And as it tells in the scriptures, and the merchants of the world wept. Why? Because they said they couldn't sell their things because the whole financial system had collapsed. And basically, I think we have a very, very tenuous system in the world today. They're doing everything frantically. The Federal Reserve is lending money to Europe, to the European nations, the European Central Bank, trying to keep this whole financial system afloat. Heaven only knows, I'm not a prophet. But it is interesting to note that certainly Babylon is destroyed literally overnight. And, well, we'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Yes, Stan. That argument that America could be in Babylon, especially in Revelation 18, and real specifically in Revelation 18, verses 9 to 11, is gaining momentum. I personally disagree with it for various reasons. But I do point out the reasons it's gaining momentum, like you just said. And it's interesting, you know, just reading those couple of verses is why some people are drawn to thinking this way. It says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament, referring to Babylon, for her when they see, and there's some of the buzzwords, the smoke of her burning. It says, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. And so they start making the connection that the smoke of the burning could have been the Twin Towers toppling, that all both towers came down in 1 hour. The merchants of the earth weep because you're there in New York and Wall Street, et cetera. So,
Phil, we're going to have to let you off there. God bless, and thank you so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and certainly I believe something terrible is going to happen to our country. Why? Because I believe when a nation turns against God, God turns against that nation, very, very simply, and America is turned against God. Certainly none of our religious leaders today will speak out against torture. None of our religious leaders will speak out and point out that the president has said he can kill anybody he wants to. He actually has a kill list, and we are using our drones to kill American citizens over in the Middle East today. And where is the outcry from the Christian church? Why, it's deafening in its silence. And I believe, of course, that terrible things are going to happen to this country. This is why we suggest to people, begin preparing now for the difficult times that lie ahead. And certainly if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, at least begin to look at the claims made in the Bible, because I think that the prophecies there are accurate. I think the Bible is accurate. And I think that the only thing that is going to sustain us is our faith in the Lord. We should make our plans financially and certainly fiscally, but also spiritually, for what I believe are the very difficult times that are coming, and I believe they're coming fairly soon. We're going to have to wait and see how things unfold. I'm not a prophet. I'm a minor historian. But I've been following it for over 50 years, and I think that we're heading towards a climax in civilization. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. We'll be offering the cases of the books about 2 more weeks, and then we're going to go ahead and do a printing on it. And we'll be able to get them by the case in the future. But this would be an excellent means of reaching others. And if you'd like to get a copy of the book, call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a case of the books at a ridiculous price, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to hear the talk I'm going to be giving this weekend, it's called Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. It's available on DVD. And then, of course, we have my talk on population control, because they're basically killing off large parts of our population already. The program is already underway. And why do you think the fertility rates are falling? Why do you think the incidence of cancer is skyrocketing in America to the point where 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women will develop cancer? This is not happening by accident. They are doing exactly what they want to here in America. And if you don't understand population control, you don't understand what you must do to protect yourself and your family. The talk, population control, the covert agenda, or as we cover much of the same material in Agenda 21, the covert plan. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you don't believe, they've already killed off millions of people. Go off on the internet and type in population control agenda. Population control agenda. Pull down my monograph. It's up there free. You can get it through my website. If you get any of our products, just ask for a free copy of the population control agenda and copy it and hand it out. It's certainly 15 years old. But it is certainly as accurate today as when I wrote it. We've already killed off about 40 million people throughout the world with the AIDS virus, which was genetically engineered, specifically targeted at blacks. That's why almost half the people in America who've died of the disease are black. That's why in areas in Africa, the majority of the people, almost the majority, are HIV infected. They're all going to die. And where is the outcry from the white church in America? It's muted inside. Well, until Monday, I'll be back. I won't be here tomorrow. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. For revival. This is our revival.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.